Good morning. This Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent 2020, and we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16 this morning. Let me read that for you. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Now, as I mentioned, this is the first Sunday of Advent. We have the Advent wreath here at the front and the candles, and I'm asking one of our young ladies to come forward and light the white candle for today. There we are. Very nice. Advent symbolizes the present situation of the church in what these we call the last days. As God's people wait for the return of Christ in glory to complete his eternal kingdom, because Jesus is coming again. The church is in a similar position to Israel at the end of the Old Testament. They were in exile, waiting, and hoping in prayerful expectation for the coming of the Messiah. The church, during Advent, looks back upon Christ's coming in celebration, while at the same time looking forward in eager anticipation to the coming of Christ's kingdom when he returns for his people. Now, in light of this, the Advent hymn, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, perfectly represents the church's cry during the Advent season, much like Israel was back in the Old Testament time. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lowly exile here. Until the Son of God appears, rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. While Israel would have sung the song in expectation of Christ's first coming, the church now sings the song in commemoration of that first coming and in expectation of the second coming in the future. And while it's difficult to keep in mind in the midst of all the holiday celebrations, you know, the shopping, the lights, the decorations, the joyful carols, during Advent, we need to reflect on what's going on in our society and in our world. There's an awful lot of violence. This last year has seen racial injustice and violence in just a form that's beyond comprehension. And evil in our world, man's inhumanity to man, the evil causes us to cry out to God to make things right, to put death's dark shadows to flight. Our exile in the present makes us look forward to our future exodus. And our own sinfulness and our need for grace lead us to pray for the Holy Spirit to renew his work in conforming us into the image of Christ. Each year we lament. You've done it, I've done it. We go on about how Christmas has strayed from its original meaning and become more and more commercial. Now, particularly in North America, the Christmas focus has changed from the babe in the manger, God's unspeakable gift, to Santa and the reindeer and the quest for more gifts. 2020 definitely has been a year of change, but truthfully, even as the world expects Santa to bring his bag of gifts at Christmas, we expect every year to bring its own bag of change. We know it's coming. Nothing remains the same. And while we deep down expect and mentally acknowledge that change is going to happen, we are often more than a little surprised when it sneaks up and slaps us in the face. Help me out here. Have you ever had this experience where you've met up with some old friends that you haven't seen in some time, maybe months, maybe even years, and during the course of getting caught up and reminiscing, someone directs this comment your way? They hold up their hand, point at you with their index finger, and waggle it a little bit and say, you haven't changed a bit. Not one bit. Now, we all know that's not true. But how did it make you feel? Yes! All right! Daddy's still got it! Whatever it was. And then later on that evening, when preparing for bed, you step into the bathroom and catch your reflection in the mirror. And you're reminded of the change that time brings. Because none of us are as young as we used to be. We aren't as young as we were last year this time. 2020 has certainly been a year of change. Of course it has. But beyond the pandemic, life has gone on. People have fallen in love and married. Families have welcomed new infant lives into their family circle and in the same year lost loved ones from that circle. People have had jobs, they've lost jobs. They've enjoyed good health, they've lost their health. Made money, lost money, settled down, moved away. People, it's been a year of change. So excuse me when I get a little taken back when I hear the moaning and the groaning about what a year it's been. It's been a year of change. But didn't we expect that? It just didn't come in the way we might have expected. So what has gotten you through this year? What is it that you hang on to through desperate times when life around you is overflowing with change? What gets you through? I can tell you one thing. Those Hallmark Christmas movies aren't going to fix stuff for you. Even though some of them are titled Hope at Christmas and The Christmas Hope, they're not talking about the kind of hope we're looking at today, because today I've entitled the message, He Still is the Hope of Christmas. And we're speaking, of course, of Jesus. I mentioned the Hallmark movies. Deborah has a shirt that says, "This is my Hallmark Christmas movie watching shirt." And she'll don that garb, find her place on the sofa, snuggle in, and flip it on the right channel to watch Hallmark movies, and I'll walk through the room and say, "Wait a minute, didn't you see this one before?" "Shh, quiet, quiet. If you're just going to talk, leave, leave." For some reason, she doesn't want my running commentary on her movie. For Deborah, it's part of the Christmas season. My wife loves Christmas. In fact, this year, amid all of the restrictions and being at home and such, she said, "Look, bring the decorations upstairs and bring the tree. I'm going to start decorating." I said, "But honey, it's only October 1st. She looked at me with that look, and I said, "Oh, let me go get those decorations." Downstairs, brought them up, and our house has been Christmas music and Christmas lights and decoration and wrapping paper on the dining room table since the first part of October. I'll tell you one thing. Hallmark movies are not talking about the kind of hope we're looking at today. This morning we sang a hymn of the church, The Solid Rock. Let me read the verses and the chorus for you, just to remind you of what we sang earlier. "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. He then is all my hope and stay. Jesus Christ is still the hope of Christmas." The hope is not in a Christmas bonus. That's not going to get you through. It'll help somewhat. It's not going to get you there. It's not in the gifts that we'll receive and such. It is the true meaning. The reason for the season is that Christmas time is when we commemorate the birth of our King, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So number one point, Christ is hope. He is hope. And our hope is founded in Jesus Christ. Hope, I looked up some synonyms: confidence, expectation, optimism, anticipation, hope. Hope encompasses all of those. Take away confidence, expectation, optimism, anticipation. Take hope out of your life. And there's no reason to get up tomorrow morning. We all need hope. The prophet Jeremiah, speaking how God directed him, I believe it's chapter, I'm off the top of my head here, I was going to say 28, might be 29, where God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you hope and a future. Hope and a future. We all need hope. And for millions of people, the Christmas season means nothing more than parties, gifts, decorations, and time off work. For the Christian, for the believer in Jesus Christ, however, this is a time that is a happy reminder of the hope that we have because of Jesus Christ. Psalm 33, verse 22 reads, May your unfailing love rest on us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Before Jesus came, God seemed distant, hidden in the Holy of Holies in the temple, accessible only to the high priest. Worshippers often left wondering whether their sacrifices were acceptable. They could be left in a state where they doubted their salvation. Did the sacrifice atone for their sins? We know that Jesus Christ atoned for our sins when he died on the cross of Calvary. There's a piece of music that reads and sings, He was born to die. Christ's purpose in life was to pay our price of sin. And he could only do that by dying and going to hell on our behalf and rising victorious on the third day. Christ is hope. But point two, Christ means hope. Christ means hope to the person out of work, to the struggling single mom, to the dying believer. And even if you're just slogging your way through the disappointments of life, if you have Jesus as a part of your life, if you have a relationship with him, you have hope. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus is not a false hope. Not some childish fairy tale that we wish would have a happy ending. When Christ rose from the dead, that ended the argument, period. And our hope in him is solid and it's real. Hope has to do with trust and confidence. It's the resting of the human heart on God, with full trust that he will care for us and our salvation and will give us the happiness that he has promised. There's another hymn of the church comes to my mind, leaning on the everlasting arms. We're leaning on his arms. We're leaning on God that he will guide us. He'll direct us. Leaning on the everlasting arms. It's an eager expectation, an anticipation of what's sure to come. An active, faith-infused, waiting for God to fulfill what he started by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 23 through 25 read, And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we eagerly wait for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. God wants us to live with hope and assurance that all of his promises are true. You can pick up this book, this holy book, the Bible, and from cover to cover, and everything between the covers, the promises are true. And our future is firmly and safely secured in God's hand for good. Christ means hope. For people who are hopeless, I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ desires to walk with you through your life. He desires to be not just a tag on your life. He wants to be an intimate part of your life. I tell folks all the time, I'm not into religion, but I'm very much into relationship. And what I see in the scripture is God wanting to renew the relationship between his creation and himself, between mankind and God, and the way that he accomplished that was sending his son Jesus to a manger in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. Third point is Christmas is a renewal of hope. It reconfirms it for us if our vision has grown dim. You know, don't you find that life has a way of wearing you down, of leaving its residue on you? Some years back, I took Deborah to the London Gardens in London, Ontario, to see the ice capades. Now, I would have rather been there to watch the London Knights play hockey, but we were there that evening for the ice capades. As the skaters warmed up out on the ice and as the music was playing, Deborah looked across the arena and said, I just can't believe how much they allow people to smoke in these public areas, these public venues. I said, I beg your pardon? Well, she said, look over there. I can hardly see the people on the other side of the ice. They're not that far away. I said, excuse me? Give me your eyeglasses. The fog wasn't in the room. The fog was on her eyeglasses. Have you ever found that? If you wear eyeglasses, if you go a few days without cleaning them, all of a sudden, there's a residue, a film on them. You need to clean the glasses to have a clear view of what's going on, what God has for you. We need to do that with our lives because this life leaves its residue on us. And the way that you can cleanse that residue from the life that you live is to find a time each day of daily devotions. A few minutes of reading God's word, meditating upon that word, thinking really what it means, and then some time of prayer. Let me encourage you to move into conversational prayer, not grocery list prayer. Well, God, you know, I need this, I need that, this, that. Protect us for this, take care of that. Like he's your heavenly father, not your fairy godmother. And there was a star at Bethlehem, but it was over the manger. It wasn't on the end of a magic wand. God is not your fairy godmother. He wants relationship. So don't present him with a list of your requests and needs. Come to him in relationship and talk to him as a friend. It was settled long ago, so we don't need to doubt anymore. Jesus is the fulfillment of our hope. Our deepest longings come true. Much of my message today I found in some devotional reading that I'd taken part in and enjoyed this week. One writer was Jack Zavada. He had a Christmas devotional entitled Jesus, Our Hope. Another was a young lady, and now the name escapes me. You ask me later, I'll find it for you. Zavada included in his writings a quote from Dr. Tony Evans and from his book, Totally Saved. Reads like this. We have lasting hope through salvation we have in Christ. Hope means that even when it looks like it's all over, it's not all over yet. And that's why the Bible says we can rejoice even in our tribulations. God is working in our hard times to produce proven character and hope within us. My fourth point, Christ is light in your darkness. Light shines brightest in the darkness, right? You found that. Here, we're located on Highway 41, about halfway between Napanee and Kanata. Just 37 kilometers north of Napanee, you'll find the Lennox and Addington Dark Sky Viewing Area. It's Lennox and Addington County. And they created back in 2012 a location for people to come and stargaze. This is one of the southernmost dedicated stargazing spots in Ontario. The viewing area stays open from dusk until dawn every day. It features a concrete pad for setting up telescopes and cameras and a number of benches for sitting back and taking in the amazing number of stars in the sky at night. It's located there because there are no street lamps there. There are no homes and other lighting. It's out in an isolated area where you can look at the pure, unadulterated sky and view the stars at night. Just a couple of weeks back, we had a power outage, lasted for a couple of days, 3 days, I guess. And during the outage, I went out to the truck one night to get something. And when I stepped outside, it was cool. And I just happened to look up, and I do not recall ever seeing the sky as clear as it was that night. And the number of stars, it was spellbinding. I stopped for a moment and just looked up. I went back into the house. Deborah had already settled in. Remember Hallmark movies? Had her shirt on, the rest of her jammies, her house coat, wrapped up, sitting on the sofa, laying back, all comfortable, watching movies. I said, you have to come outside now. Well, I'm not coming outside. Come outside now. I've got something to show you. You have to come right now. And so she almost begrudgingly came to the door, stepped out, and I said, just look straight up. And there, amid our power failure situation, without any other external or man-made light, the skies were ablaze with stars. And the two of us stood there and marveled at God's handiwork. That's the heart of the Christmas story. There's an overriding message of hope that's articulated beautifully in the lyrics of O Holy Night. Remember the first couple of lines? O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Here's a thought. This may catch you off guard. Get your seatbelt on, okay? God didn't come into our world at high noon. He entered our lives in darkness, showing us the way to light, guiding us towards love, and demonstrating how to overcome shadows and blackness. When is a light the brightest? When it's in total darkness. What was it Jesus said? John chapter 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. God came into our life not at high noon, but he came into our lives in the darkness. How did he show the wise men how to come? There was a star that guided them, led them, a heavenly light. Christmas teaches us that even when things seem dark, we can place our hope and our trust in the one who is the everlasting light. No matter what challenges you face, Christmas offers powerful symbols of hope. Let's get beyond the hot chocolate and candy canes, can we? The gift wrap and tinsel? The mall Santa Claus and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation? Can we get beyond all of that and come back to a babe in a manger? Because Christmas is all about believing in things that defy logic. The Son of God, being born to a virgin, in a stable, surrounded by farm animals. Honey, if that doesn't defy logic for you, I don't know what does. It defies logic. The God of the universe, coming to earth as a child, a human child, to a virgin, a woman who had never had sex with a man, and not born in the finest of palaces, but in a stable, not surrounded by high officials and high-ranking people of the day. No, surrounded by a stable full of farm animals. And the holy season that we're entering into prompts us to become childlike in our faith. What was it Jesus said? Except we become as a child, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The season prompts us to become childlike in our faith, to think with our hearts rather than our brains, to embrace a world beyond our own, trusting that God is with us every day. Christmas inspires faith in God, in his goodness, truth, and beauty that are all very real but not always visible. But most of all, Christmas inspires hope. The symbols and the stories surrounding the birth of Jesus whisper into your ear. Even now, as you're listening to this, the Christ of Christmas would whisper into your ear and say, don't give up. Keep going. There's still hope. I am here. The Christ of Christmas, the reason for the season, the babe in the manger, will be our soon returning conquering king. And that Jesus, part of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he's God, and he wants and desires a relationship with you and I. It's an amazing truth that the God of the universe would want a relationship with you and I. But it's what the scripture tells us. You might be saying, well, Steve, I've listened to you today and heard some interesting things. I have a bit of a strange urging within me today. I'm not sure what that is. Let me tell you, that's God saying, psst, come here. He's whispering in your ear, but it's the ear of your heart, the center of your emotions, your being, your core. And he's saying, I would have relationship with you. I would be one who would walk with you daily, one who would come into your life at this Christmas season and bring you hope. Well, Steve, how do I do that? How would I enter into a relationship with God? Scripture lays it out quite simply. You could pray this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God and that you came to this world to die on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins and come into my life today. Help me to live for you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I'd appreciate it if you'd drop me a line. My email is pastor@hilltopchurch.ca. Pretty simple. pastor@hilltopchurch.ca. Could be that you don't have a Bible to read and you'd like one. I can help with that. Could be you have some questions. I am happy to help with that. In fact, I have some of my best question answer periods usually center around a coffee pot. This first Sunday of the Advent season, as we enter in at the very beginning of this season, the message of the day is hope. Jesus Christ is hope for you, and he is still the hope of Christmas. Have a blessed week. We'll catch you next time.